It's a WIP Afternoon Show, Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Every Thursday, we are joined by Mike Lombardi of the Daily Coach, of the GM Shuffle podcast, of the VSiN Morning Show. Mike, how are we feeling?
We're good. How about you? Are we excited? It's all good. Life is good. Week three of football. It's all good. We got a long way to go, so it's even better.
Yeah.
Well, we're not all excited.
Yeah, that's not here this week.
God, here they go. Well, that's what you're in the business. We're going to panic. I mean, yeah, of course. Absolutely. Yes. Why not? This is what we do. Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So first question, just general top level question. Based on the personnel they have, the coaches, and what you have seen so far after these first two games, could you foresee a scenario where the Eagles at the end of the year are contenders to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
No, not the way they're set up defensively. And I think Jalen Hurts hasn't really played to the level he needs to play to that we've seen him play in 2022 when they were so dominant. I mean, he's had the most protection of any quarterback in the league, and yet he's only averaged 7.2 yards per attempt. That's not good enough. He holds the ball, and he's running out of the pocket when perhaps he doesn't have to run. He's just getting out, and I don't understand it. And look, the one thing that's scary, here's the scariest part. They've held the ball for 34 minutes and 13 seconds in two games. They've only played 25 minutes and 47 seconds of defense. Now, I believe this. You want to play good defense, play less defense. So they've played less defense. The problem is, in two games, they've given up 800 yards. Now, that's a problem. 800 yards, play 25 minutes and 47 seconds of defense in each game. That's a real issue. Yeah. That's a real issue. So, to me, you're not winning. You're not beating anybody. And then the other scary part is they've held quarterbacks to 57% completion percentage. So it isn't like they're getting, but they can't stop the run. They're not physical enough up front. I mean, when you're giving up 6.4 yards a carry, I mean, that's a killer. And then you're giving up 13.5 per reception. The Eagles are only getting 10 yards of reception. So they got to fix those two areas. And I think you've got to ask yourself the question, do they have the personnel? Now, that gets into their edges, right?
Yep.
They're too small on the edge. Nolan Smith's an old-time Sam linebacker. He's not really a defense. He gets too small. He gets eaten up. Bryce Huff, he was getting eaten up in that game. So you're going to have some force. 2 years ago, when they led the National Football League at 70 sacks, 60 of them came from their defensive line. Mm-hmm. So far this year, they have one sack from a defensive lineman.
Yeah, when you're in a position, say, of Howie putting the roster together personnel-wise, and it's only week three of the season, how difficult is it for him in his position? Do you add to the roster? Do you sit and wait it out and see if these guys eventually reach their potential? Like, how do you improve where they are right now?
Well, I think you got to improve the fundamentals, techniques, and I think you got to improve their conditioning, too. Like, I'm not sure they're in great shape. I didn't think in the fourth quarter they had any gas left in the tank. You know, you got a 6-point lead. They shouldn't have had 50 seconds. See, here's the biggest misconception in all this analytical crap. And Spike, I don't mean any disrespect to the analytical community here, because I do think there's a place for analytics in sports.
Just real quick, Mike, I'm not that smart, so I'm okay. Not one of the analytics guys.
When I hear process, I hear analytics. It sends me over the edge.
Right.
We'll
okay.
Get back to that later. Okay.
Fair enough.
So here's the reality. Aristotle, the great football philosopher from Greece, he said you can't measure anything that isn't consistent. And what he meant by that was, if I drop this pen on my desk, 20 years from now the pen's going to hit my desk. But if I don't understand the dynamics of everything that's going on, analytics may not apply. Okay, so here's the situation. I believe there's applied analytics. I'm Nick Sirianni. I'm watching this game. I know my defense hasn't been on the field very much, but I know they're getting gashed. They're getting gashed. And I know one thing. The last thing I would want to do if I were Nick Sirianni on that sideline is give the Atlanta Falcons five more plays. I don't want to give them five more plays. You say, well, how do you give them five more plays? Well, when you tried to throw the ball on third down, you basically gave them 40 seconds. That's five more plays. Mm-hmm. See, no one equates the amount of time on the clock with how many plays are left in the game. We just say, oh, there's a minute 30 to go in the game. No, how many plays are left in the game? That's what I'm defending, is how many plays. And I'm watching my defense get gashed because they're tired. We can't get any pressure on the quarterback. I'm going to make sure I take those five plays away from them. So now I can reduce the game to a 50-second game. Now there's seven plays left in the game. Fellas, we go out there and play seven plays. We keep them in bounds. That may go down to five plays. But that's the mistake. It's applied analytics. It isn't just one for all and all for one. That's the issue. And, of course, you've got some idiots out there that think that he should have gone for it on fourth down, because they'll tell you this. This is how brilliant it is. They'll tell you six is a dead score in football. You know, basketball has a zillion possessions. So I get the concept shooting threes over a volume of time is better than making twos. But football, we only have 11, 12 possessions per game. You turn down points in one of those possessions, you're not getting another chance all the time. So the three he doesn't take early in the game, and then by not running it, it costs him the game.
Well, let me ask you this, though, on the go for fourth down, because I actually do disagree there. So here's two. Let me give you the other side of it. The other side of it is two things. One, you go for it on fourth down. Let's say you don't get it, right? You've taken more time off the clock, of course, by running it. It's not 40 full seconds, but it's the time, whatever the time the play is.
Oh, wait a second. Time out, Spike, before you ask me. Are you running it on third down? Because if you're going for it on fourth down, you got to run it on third down. They don't have any timeouts.
Well, they don't have any timeouts, but even let's say they threw it on fourth.
You can't separate the two, Spike.
Well,
you
I am. Here, no. Here's what I'm saying.
The third down play has to rhyme with the fourth down play if you're going to do this.
Here's what I'm saying. We call the third down pass. Saquon drops it. I'm going for it on fourth down anyway. Because what I'm doing is I'm putting Atlanta at their 3-yard line rather than their 30-yard line. And instead of them playing to score 7, they're playing to score 3. So the worst case scenario, most likely, is that they are tying the score and we're getting overtime, as opposed to them driving 70 yards to score 7. They will drive 70 yards to score 3, worst case scenario. So that's why I'm going for it on fourth down, even if I throw an incompletion on third.
It makes no sense to me at all, because here's the reality. We just watched the league kick 21 50-yard field goals. I'm trying to win the game. If I can win the game by taking 50 seconds off the clock, rushing the passer, and making them go the entire length of the field, what guarantee do you have that they're going to play for the field goal? Like, this whole methodology, I don't understand it.
Well, but like, if we're trying to win the game, then we're throwing in on third down.
If you're trying to win the game, you take away 5 plays. You take away 5 plays. You reduce the amount of plays you have to defend. That's trying to win the game. That doesn't fail. To throw it on third down and stop the clock, you just gave them another timeout, and you gave them 5 more plays.
Right, but
that's called losing the game.
Okay. Okay. I disagree. I don't want to talk in circles on it. I disagree. Now, I agreed with the play was right there. If Saquon Barkley catches the ball like he would 99 out of 100 times, we're talking about...
He dropped a lot of balls in his career. I think he leads the league in drop passes as a receiver.
Yeah, it's like 6 a year on 50 or 60 catches. So
he still drops them. I mean, so somebody's got to pay a price for those 6 drops somewhere.
All right. Yeah, I mean, they're not all in crucial situations. They're also not wide open, and they're also not in that situation. I mean, five drops over 17 games is...
But you don't see a pattern here. You don't see a pattern here that happened in Dallas. You don't see a pattern that happened at the Chargers. This is exactly why Kellen Moore is not the offense coordinator in Dallas. This is exactly why. This is exactly why. Because the object is to win the game. It isn't to make the analytical community happy by going for it. That's what cost him his job in Dallas. That's why Mike McCarthy came in a jury and said, look, great, smart guy. I got to manage the game different. If you want him to call plays, you let him be the head coach. So then he goes out to the Chargers. Same thing. How many games did they lose in Los Angeles that were close games? See, it's really good to say go for it. And then when you lose, we'll complain about something else. But we never complained about not going for the field goal in the first quarter. Everybody was happy with that. Have you ever seen a stat on the worldwide leader where it says don't go for it on fourth down? Have you ever seen it say no, don't go for it? I mean, that's automatic.
So you would have gone for it in the first half or not?
No, I wouldn't have. I would have taken the points, because the last time I checked, Ike, the game was who has the most points wins.
And
if I can get 3 in a game that I know the team that I'm playing got beat by 6 field goals the week before, I'm going to collect some points.
Yeah, well, but Green Bay did that the week before, ended up with 6 points on the first 2 possessions, and if they had 7 points on one of those possessions, they would have won the game. So, you're putting your opponent in a worse position earlier in the game, and you're having them play catch up rather than being in scoring position twice and being up 1 score. You can be in scoring position twice and be up 2 scores.
Logic when you have a zillion possessions. You don't have that many possessions in football. Look, and I'm sure that somebody can run numbers to support this, though you can't see the numbers. It's like Pro Football Focus. Somebody grades the players. We don't know who it is. They're hiding behind some giant screen. It's probably some guy in his basement in Des Moines who eats meatloaf every day for lunch.
What's wrong with meatloaf?
We have no idea who he is.
It's Sam Hinkie.
We have no idea who he is. But then we say, well, Pro Football Focus says he's the top guard in football. Well, who is Pro Football Focus? Who are they? What's that guy's expertise? How many linemen did he evaluate in his career? How many times is he right? How many times is he wrong? We don't know that. We just cite it as if it means something.
Mm. Just for the record, I don't really like Pro Football Focus. I'm
Nobody
just saying.
Nobody does. Everybody in the league thinks it's a joke, except for when you're on television and they can't wait to quote it. J.J. Watt went nuts on it the last McAfee show. It doesn't make any sense. We don't even know who's grading it. We have no idea. But, of course, naturally, we're going to say, well, Pro Football Focus says this guy's the top third running back. It's a comedy. It's just a way to prove something that's not logical, just like that stat that comes up there and says go for it. Like, you tell me how many times teams lose when they're up by six with 45 seconds left to go and the opposing quarterback can't move out of the pocket.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
McAfee doesn't even wear sleeves. I don't want to hear that guy's name.
Okay. Said it on the show. What do you want me to say?
I'm just kidding, man. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. Before, Ike, do you have anything else on?
No, so, he's pretty much touched on everything.
Okay, so I've one non-specific game question for you. Is we've heard both in the off season, we heard some rumblings about the Eagles' potential interest in Bill Belichick and Jeff Lurie having a good relationship with Bill Belichick. And over the last few weeks, we've heard Bill Belichick mention the Eagles in a positive way. Do you think there is any chance the Eagles would hire Bill Belichick? And the second part of that question, do you think there's any chance Bill Belichick would come to the Eagles if Howie Roseman was still the general manager?
I don't know the answer to that. I really don't. I mean, I don't really have an answer. I work with Bill every week. We talk about a lot of things. None of it is about what's his next job. We talk about what we're going to talk about on the air. To me, I think it's all hypothetical. I think to me it's got to be a match for both parties, right? You know, I mean, I think Bill's got a specific way of how he believes the team has to go. For example, when he and I went over that situation that happened in Philly, whether it be the first quarter or the fourth quarter, he and I were in complete agreement. He would have taken the points. He would have run the ball on third down. We were in complete agreement on that. Now, if the Eagles want to be analytical and go for it, maybe that would be a rub. I don't know. The Eagles are very analytical, but Bill is not – to call him old school is unfair. When you have six Super Bowls on your mantle, you're not old school. You're a really smart coach. But to me, I think those are things that I can't answer to because I don't know who has flexibility, and there's no job open to talk about it. Look, to me, I think if I'm Nick Sirianni, I think one of the things you've got to do is use applied analytics. It's like, I'm watching the game. We can't stop anybody.
Well, so just, I guess, to dig a little deeper, I know that you're in an odd position here because you know the guy, you work with the guy. I'm not asking you to speak for him. But in that sort of situation, he's going to go somewhere where he's going to run the football team the way that he wants to run the football team. Is that a fair thing to say?
Oh, I don't think – he can't be Bill Belichick unless he runs the team the way he has to run the team. I mean, look, every organization needs an expert, right? Every organization needs somebody who is in charge and sees the vision of the team and plans out the course. Now, I don't know, you know, obviously Howie's done a very good job of doing that in Philadelphia. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to another one. So obviously that works. So I don't know. But I mean, to me, for me in my background, what I've been accustomed to is if the head coach doesn't control the vision of the team, it makes it very challenging on the head coach.
Do you think the Eagles have made a mistake in their last two head coaching hires in that it seems like the head coach is not running the team in that aspect? It seems more like the general manager is.
Well, they've been very successful. I mean, right. Look, I was on record. I didn't think Doug was a good hire. And, you know, they won a Super Bowl, but then they fired him 2 years later. I think, to me, they've done a very good job of supporting the head coach. I think there's one of the things. I think when they hire a coach, they kind of know who he is, and then they give him some help and try to help him become a head coach. I don't think not very many people are born to become head coaches. And I think there's a lot of things that I'm sure Nick's improved on in his time.
All right. Mike Lombardi, we appreciate you, man. You always bring it. You always bring it.
Fire!
Well, no, yeah, wait till we get to basketball season and we watch your team. We can't wait for that.
The only reason you agreed to do this call is for basketball season. Just
the only
be
reason.
Honest.
It's the only, I can't wait to when he's got his hands on his knees and he's out of breath after the first quarter.
You
wow.
know,
I'll let
Mike,
you go, fellas.
Wait. No. Well, okay, we'll save it for next time. All right, Mike. All right, Mike. There he is. All right, hold on. So if you need to replace your windows, which you probably do, you should do it right. I'm exhausted from Mike Lombardi yelling at me. I tried to make one little Pat McAfee joke. I have no problem with Pat McAfee not wearing sleeves. I dress like a 18-year-old roadie. It's fine.
Well.
Anyway, call Guida Door and Window. Go Guida. Go Guida. Do it before the winter comes. And all that cold air is out there trying to get through your old drafty windows. They're doing all they can by making it more affordable for you. Right now, the buy one, get one half off sale. It is very simple to understand. You buy one door, you get the next door half off. You buy one window, you get the next window half off. You can mix and match. Buy two windows, get the next two doors half off. That's how it works. The more that you buy, the more that you save. If you buy 100 windows and doors, half of them will be 50% off. It's a great deal. And you know price is not the only way they can make it affordable. They're doing it by letting you start your project with no money down, interest-free financing up to 18 months, limited time. So do it now. Call 877-GO-GUIDA. You can schedule your free, no-obligation in-home estimate. And go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. Mike was talking about like an Eagles fan.
Mm-hmm.
He was mad about all of it.
Because he's a football guy.
We asked him one question.
Yeah.
He's ripping me on analytics. I didn't even say anything about it.
Well, you are the poster child for analytics in Philadelphia.
Well, and part of him believes, I don't know if that's the case.
It's unfair.
Yeah. Well, it's the whole process thing. Yes, yes. Yeah. I guess what people view the play to Saquon as analytics.
I don't think so.
Right? Like, I didn't view that as some analytical thing.
No,
I think the pass in that situation is viewed more analytically by older school football people. Yes.
Because that's what it's saying, like Mike was saying there.
Well, he was attacking Kellen Moore on that.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes.
That's how he makes his decisions.
Yes. And he was mad that people said they should go for it on fourth down.
Right.
Right. I think the...
He didn't want them to go for it on fourth down.
No, he did not.
He's a big take-the-points guy.
He was confusing me in some of those.
No,
I was like, did you want him to go for it or not?
He did not want him to go for it on fourth down.
But in
either
the first quarter,
he did not. He wanted the 3 points. That's when I said, Green Bay did that to us, and they ended up 6 points.
He wanted the points on the board, yes.
So, and,
got it.
You know, the analytics part of it is funny, because all analytics is probability, you know, based on how many times something happens.
Yeah.
When he says... you're only giving the defense 5 plays, and you want to give them 5 plays. That is, whether Mike likes it or not, that is him doing analytics.
Well, it's like what Howard says, there's a difference between analytics and numbers.
Yes. Yeah. The analytic people love talking in basketball, love talking about points per game or rebounds per game, which is just like more basic analytics. It's just stats. But he seems... incredibly pessimistic.
Yeah.
And he brought up Jalen on his own. He brought up the decision-making from Kellen Moore and Nick Sirianni on his own. It was basically one question about, do you think they can be a contender? And it was, defense sucks, Jalen's not good enough, the coaches are slaves to analytics, and that's why Kellen Moore got fired, you know, in two different places. So, not great.
Looking forward to him next week.
Yeah, didn't make me feel great.
Are you just getting that out of the way in case OG or Corey calls up and says, why'd you ask him about Jalen again?
Well, I didn't even think of that, but I did not ask him about Jalen.
Yes. Y'all giving my guy a complex now. Anytime Jalen comes up, everybody's like, oh, why are you bringing up Jalen? Hey. He's going to get discussed. He's the quarterback of the team.
I can't even ask questions.
He's just an okay player.
Oh, see, that's what they don't like. but here's the thing with that, and I'll be honest with you about that. Even in the past, I've said he has the ability to play at a top five level, but remaining a top five quarterback is something you have to do over time.
Sure.
And to be quite honest, okay, Josh Allen has finished in the top three, I believe, in MVP voting the last 3 years. So that could classify him as a top five quarterback in this league. Even with the mistakes that he makes, people still view him as one of the top quarterbacks in the league. Mm-hmm. We know Patrick Mahomes is there. Other than that, everybody else, even Lamar with two MVPs, has been in and out of the top five.
Especially because of the playoffs. Burrow, I understand the people who are frustrated about how Burrow is viewed.
How he gets the sort of grandfathered into the elite status.
Because for some reason...
And he's 0-2.
Yes. You just watch him, and there's something about Burrow where you just feel like you just kind of know that he's good.
But here's what I would say, though. Here's what I would say to that. And I love Joe Burrow. Best quarterback since we had Boomer Esiason. Don't worry about that. But he had to transfer from Ohio State. He went to LSU and set. He surprised everybody his year. And he had a star-studded team around him.
Right.
And the years that he's been good in Cincinnati, A, he's been healthy, and he's had stars around him.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't necessarily lifted a team without stars on it and put him on his back and carried him anywhere.
No, there is the number of quarterbacks who do that.
That's
is
right.
Minuscule.
I got it.
Yes.
One.
Yes.
I guess you could slide Lamar in there because he's never really had any star receivers or what have you.
Aaron Rodgers not that guy anymore, but
right,
at one point.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers was more or less, he's already established. I don't even include him.
Right.
He's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Sure.
He's just not at that level right now.
Right.
We have five MVPs, four MVPs.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty damn
pretty good. So coming up next, Jason Kelce is on the WIP Morning Show every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. And Jason talked this morning pretty passionately about the Sixers' new proposed arena on Market East.
Mm.
We will play that next so you, and discuss on the, this is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.